Today I want to talk about praise and worship, and mostly about praise. In the Hebrew, praise is hallel, and it means to shine, boast, praise, glorify, make one's boast, testify, and it's an important part of our spirituality. Praises. It's an important part of growing spiritually. And we just saw the Psalm 49, and it kept on saying, praise the Lord. And it taught us how to praise. David was probably the greatest person that knew how to praise and worship. And what did God say about David? He is a man after my own heart. Praise is a wonderful way of getting into the presence of God. It's a wonderful way, a powerful way to wage spiritual warfare. And it's a part of our spirituality that if it doesn't grow, then I don't think we can grow spiritually. Anyways, I want to talk about the first praise. The first praise we see from a human point of view is Adam when he saw Eve. He said, when he saw Eve, the first praise occurred. He said, this now is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She will be called, whoa, man. And because she was taken out of a man. And that was the first utterance of praise from a person. But of course, the first praise was actually God. When he said, let there be light, and he saw the light, and he said, that's good. That's actually a praise when he said, that's good. But in terms of a human perspective, we also see the first time the word, the Hebrew word hallel is used, is in Genesis 12:15. And it's actually, it's kind of embarrassing for us men, but it was actually people praising Sarah's wife, the Egyptians. They saw Sarah's wife, and she's like, "Wow, she's so beautiful. Let's tell it to Pharaoh." Now, that's just a little background on praise. But there's nothing wrong praising people. The Bible doesn't necessarily say praising people is evil. Instead, in fact, you know, Proverbs says a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, right? So praising is a wonderful thing. Ultimately, it should be towards God. But there's nothing wrong with praising one another, boasting about one another, testify about one another. You know, saying, Kenji is such a wonderful person who plays the shamisen, and, you know, he brings a lot of joy to the church. That's praising him. And that's okay. That make you feel good, Kenji?
Yes.
Okay, good. See? And that's what praise does. It's supposed to make people feel good. And it's true. I do feel that way about you. But in the same way, I don't know if it makes God feel good, but it does tell us to praise God. It says in Psalms 149, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Praise Him in the assembly of His saints. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Praise Him in the assembly of the saints. You know, I think what comes out of our mouth will ultimately reveal what's in our hearts. What comes out of our mouth will ultimately reveal what's in our heart. Because a lot of us, we can praise something we love, and we could go on and on and on and on and on about it, right? Like, for example, I could go on and on and on and on and on about basketball. Because I could praise it. It's a great sport. This is me praising basketball. It's a great sport. It kept me out of trouble when I was young. It was through basketball I made a lot of my friends. It kept me in school. It kept me in shape. That's praising basketball. And I could go on and on and on about it. And I'm sure you have something that you can go on and on and on and on and about, right? You know, for example, if you're a gamer, you like video games, you could go on and on and on about your favorite video game. If you like golf, you could go on and on and on about golf, and you'll put me to sleep. But, you know, if you like politics, you'll go on and on and on. Not only will you go on and on and on, you'll get very passionate about it, right? That's right. Yeah, I know about you politicians. It's okay. That's fine. That's how I am with basketball. How about with God, though? Is that something you can go on and on and on and on and on about? And is that something we're passionate about when we talk about it? It shows. It will show itself. Because what you talk about, what you praise, what you boast about, what you testify about, that's what's in your heart. And a lot of us, myself included, I don't know if God is taking first place. Ooh, yikes. Is that right? Is that true? You know, I caught myself. I was watching sports or something. I don't know which sport I was watching. UFC, basketball, football, you name it, you know. When there would be an amazing play, I would scream. I would hoot and holler like you never know. You could ask my wife. I've scared her a couple times, you know. Because all of a sudden, I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden, it's like, woo! And then my wife is like, whoa. You know, she's pretty jumpy to begin with. And so when I start yelling like that, it's like, wow. It's like, what just happened? And I caught myself, and I said, God, I've never done that for you. I've never wooed for you before. Let me catch myself. I've done that once in a while before. You know, in a bigger group where, you know, I won't be as noticeable if I did it. I've done it before, but it's not as often as I've done it with sports. You know, it doesn't even need to be a player I like or a team I'm rooting for. If it's just an exciting play, it just comes out of me. And I caught myself and I said, Lord, I want to do that for you. That's how I want to praise you. Because I know that you're not in the center of my heart right now. And I want to praise you that way. You know, and some of us, I think we get passionate about what should be hobbies. We get passionate of what should be leisurely activities more so than we get passionate about God. Praise is so important because what you praise will reveal what's in your heart. And every word, we will be judged by every word we speak. The Lord is not fooled. You know, he's not fooled. He sees our hearts. And I don't want to say you. I want to say us. I'm including myself. And I don't know about your life, actually. I don't know what you hoot and holler about. Maybe you do hoot and holler about God. And if you do, that's awesome. That's great. But if not, I want you to ask yourself, what do I hoot and holler about? What do I get passionate about? What would I fight somebody over, you know? Not like physically fight, because as I look in this crowd, I know I don't see a lot of people. I see like a couple of people that would actually fight and throw down over something. But what would you fight over? Like verbally fight over. You know, it says, praise the Lord. I just want to give you some practical names of the Lord you can start praising him with. I didn't put this on the PowerPoint. I should have. Forgive me, but here are some names of the Lord that you may want to just praise him, thank him about. One of the names of the Lord is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. And that is, the Lord is my provider. You guys ever been provided for by the Lord? I know I have. Man, come on. Anyone? Just me? You? What? All right, man. Is the table bothering you? Is that distracting you? Is that what it is? It's the table. Alright. Let's try this again. I'll give you another chance. Have you guys ever been provided for by the Lord? Amen? Yeah, amen, amen. I'm sorry, I spoke at a church. It was a predominantly Hispanic, and Kenji knows about the Hispanic people. They're a lot louder and vocal, and it was great. I just said one thing, and they're like, amen. I said a joke that wouldn't fly here, and they're laughing. I was like, oh. It was very encouraging. Anyways, another name of the Lord, Jehovah Rapha. The Lord is my healer. The Lord is my healer. Jehovah, I don't know if I'm saying this right, Nisi. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. His banner over me is love. The banner of the Lord. You want to do some show and tell? Should I show and tell now? So, you know, in certain churches, you'll see people with flags, right? Yeah, have you ever been to a church or watched church service and they have, like, flags? This is a smaller version. It's usually a little bigger. I just have small flags. And, you know, because I know it'll be hard to bring a big flag in first. So we got to start small, and here's a flag. And, you know, they do this because the Bible says, praise Him with everything. I told you guys not too long ago, I was praising the Lord with fruit, right? You guys remember that? I was doing a wave offering of fruit. And the reason why I did that was in the Bible, during harvest time, they would get branches with fruit on it, and they will wave it to the Lord as a praise offering, saying, God, you've been faithful and provided for us, and you brought in such an abundant harvest in the past, and I just want to praise you. And they waved fruit, or they waved something to the Lord, branches to the Lord. Waving a banner to the Lord is a form of worship. Saying, Lord, you are my banner. I'm not good at this yet, as you can see. Lord, you are my banner. And I just want to wave before you this purple banner. Because if you search scripture, everything has meaning. Isn't that interesting? Nothing is arbitrary. Nothing is random. It's like a movie director. I don't know much about film, but apparently if you're shooting a film and if it's a good director, everything is there because he wants it there. It's a blank canvas and he puts every single thing there and it has a message. It's supposed to convey something. Similarly, in the Bible, everything has a message. It conveys something. Purple actually conveys something. A lot of people will say purple conveys the royalty of God. They put purple robes on kings. And so as I wave this, I'm saying, Lord, you are King. You are Lord. Your banner over me. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. Worshiping, praising Him. I mean, wouldn't you feel good if somebody like waved something at, you know, when you were like doing something like sports and they had a flag and it said, Aki is the best, and they were waving at you. He is the point guard of point guards, you know, or I don't know. But it's a banner. And you see in these films, in ancient times, they would have people holding banners. I think even in wars America's been in, right? They would hold the flag bearer. And it would, I guess in the natural, it as long as that flag is standing, we're going to fight. In the spiritual, as long as these waves are in the air, we're praising you, we're worshiping you. Anyways, another name for him is Jehovah Mikdash. Mikdash. The Lord is my sanctifier. A more common one, Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. Jehovah Tesboth, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Tzidkenu, The Lord is my righteousness. Jehovah Helon. The Lord Most High. Jehovah Mekan. The Lord that smites. Jehovah Gemola. The Lord that recompenses. I love that one. The Lord that recompenses. That's Jehovah Gemola. I can't say it in Hebrew, but I just say, God, you are a God of justice, and you will recompense me. The first time I saw a recompense in the Bible, I'm like, what the heck is recompense? I never used the word recompense. So I looked it up in the dictionary. It means to be paid. To be paid for something. To be paid back. To be paid for something. More when, like, it's owed to you. Does that make sense? So actually, I saw that, and I looked it up, and then this was like 20 years ago now. No, more like 15 years ago. I'm not that old. More like 15 years ago now. And then I saw that in the Bible, I looked it up, I'm like, recompense, that's a cool word. Anyways, I was helping this t-shirt company deliver t-shirts, and I had to go to downtown LA from the suburbs of Granada Hills, which is like easily a 40-minute drive. And so I go, the t-shirt company called me, hey, Aki, are you doing anything? No. Can you pick up some t-shirts for us from this one company? I said, yes. So I go to the company, I go to pick up the t-shirt, and the person doesn't have the t-shirt ready. And I said, well, is there a recompense? I used a word. They say if you want to learn a new word, you got to use it or something in a sentence. So I actually used it. I said, is there a recompense? And he said, okay, we'll give you like 15% off next time. I said, cool. The Bible works. But the Lord is our recompense. The Bible helps in many ways. But the Lord is our recompense. What does that mean? That means if Satan steals something from you, you could actually go to God and say, Lord, the enemy did this and he stole this from me. You are a God of justice. And your word says if a person is caught stealing, they have to pay 7 times more. God, I pray for 7 times more of what he stole. You know, if there's been evil done in your life, injustice done in your life, you could bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I know you're a God of justice. And I give this thing or person up to you. But God, you are a God of justice, and I ask for 7 times more what was stolen from me. You know, if you've been abused, go to the Lord and say, Lord, this was an injustice done to me. And I know you are the God of recompense. I want 7 times more back. And he will give it to you. Because he is the Lord of recompense. He is the Lord that repays. He is the Lord of justice. Amen? He is a wonderful God. He is an amazing God. He won't let something happen to you where you said, that's unjust, that's not fair. As a child of God, you could go before the Lord and say, Lord, this happened to me, and I pray, Lord, that your justice would break through in my life. Ask and you shall receive. He is the Lord of recompense. He is Jehovah Shema. The Lord is ever present. And actually, I made this last one up. Jehovah Bara. He is the Lord of Creator. I didn't make it up. It wasn't in the list of Jehovah's that I was looking for. I was looking at. But Jehovah Bara. In the beginning God created Bara. The Lord is my creator. And I love praising God that way. As a creator. Whenever I get a chance to pray in public, I try to do that, you know. God, you who made the heavens and the earth. You who created the stars. The mountains, the sea, the trees, the ocean. I love just praising him for his creation. I'm not praising the creation itself, but the creator who created it. I believe learning to do that will help you grow spiritually. It will. And I don't want to try to make this like a manipulative thing, but I think you'll see more prayers answered. Again, I don't want to make it a manipulative thing. Because, you know, from a humanistic point of view, when I want my wife to do something, I don't just go to her and say, "Hun, can you do this for me?" Especially if I know she's busy and she, you know, if she doesn't want to do it, or if there's something, I'll say, "Honey, you're so awesome. You're the best at putting sheets on the couch. Can you do that for me?" You know, I'll praise her first. You know, because honestly, a lot of times when we go to God, isn't it just, "Hey, God, can you do this for me?" And this thing's going in and out. Am I okay? Is this okay? Is this bothering you? It's bothering me. But, you know, sometimes we go to God and it's just like, "Hey, God, I need this. Thanks." You know? Our prayer life is like, we have a list of things we want from God. And then once the list is over, it's like, "In Jesus' name, amen." What is that? Is your prayer life like that? Let me ask you, what is that? You know, who else do you treat that way? Because if you're treating people that way, you know, people won't like you a lot. "Hey, can you do this for me? Thank you." You know? And it's like a, you know, flippant thank you too, in Jesus' name. You know, you do that enough time and people will be like, you know, "This guy, he keeps me around because I do stuff for him." You keeping God around because he do stuff for you? You know, you got to ask yourself that. Are we keeping God around so he could do more stuff for us? You know, because when you come before someone as awesome as God, as amazing as God, as wonderful as God, and you begin to see him for who he is, I think our lips will begin to reflect that. "God, you're awesome. You're amazing." You know, imagine meeting someone you really admire for the first time. What would you do? You'd probably praise him, right? "I'm really appreciative of like that book you wrote. It really spoke to me." Or, "I really appreciate that program. That's an amazing program. You're the awesome programmer." Or, "I really appreciate you know, Jeremy Lin, you encouraged me so much. You're like the first Asian to look normal and actually be successful in basketball, and it gives me a lot of hope," you know what I mean? Or, you know, if you're into music, you know, "Your music, it just inspires me. It's, whenever I play it, it's so amazing, and it gives me just, I can't even imagine, how'd you write that, you know, how'd you do that?" You know, if you meet someone great, your lips will begin to talk about his greatness. And when we come before God, it's like, "God, you know, please help me on my test." Or, "God, please help me pay my bills." I've been there. I do that. I'm not trying to read any of your mails and say, "This is what you do." This is what I do. Or I did. Or, "God, you know," and fill in the blank. But then when we go around and we meet somebody great, we're like, "Oh man, you know, you're such an awesome guy," you know. It's like, and you just praise that person. When was the last time you just went before God and just said, "God, you're awesome, you're wonderful, thank you, I praise you, you're great." And then that's it. And then you just go on with your business. Let him ask you, "Hey, what do you need?" You get more prayers answered that way. If God says, "Hey, you know, you need anything?" Say, "Yeah, actually I do." He loves you. He wants to give you stuff. I'm not saying he won't give you stuff if you just go to him without praising him. That's how good he is, isn't he? You know, even when we do, even when I did pray, Lord, please help me with this, and that's it, he helped me with it. You know, and I kept on doing that too. I said, oh, I guess that's how prayer works. I just go to him and ask him, and he gives me stuff. That's not how it works. I'm trying to tell you right now, that's not how it works. The Bible is clear. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him. Start saying, God, you're wonderful. Thank you so much for life. Thank you so much for my friends. Thank you so much for my family. Thank you so much that I don't have to worry about putting food on the table. Thank you so much for my daily bread. Thank you so much for just being able to do the things I want to do. Thank you so much that I have the choice of, you know, either buying a TV or getting a new whatever. You know, because people don't usually have that kind of choice. If God has given you that kind of blessings, I want you to thank Him and say, thank you, Lord, that the biggest struggle I have is whether to go to Sushi Garden or to go to, you know, some other sushi place today. That's the biggest problem in my life right now, is I don't know what I'm going to eat for lunch. You know? If that's the biggest problem you have, if that's what's on your mind, the forefront of your mind right now, I mean, isn't God worthy of praise? And say, thank you, God, that I don't have to worry about my life when I step out, someone trying to persecute me for being Christian, for being at church today. Let me see where I'm at. But praising God, learning to praise God, will be an important part of your life. And in fact, it says, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, praise Him in the assemblies of the saints. Singing to the Lord a new song, it does a couple of things, and I think it means a couple of things. One, it engages us more. We've been singing more new songs lately, and I know it's hard. I know that. Especially for the older people, and I want to apologize. I get it. When I'm old, I'm going to want to sing songs I'm used to too. In fact, even now, it's hard for me to go into new songs. But it's difficult, but the difficultness of it, it forces you to grow. It forces neurological pathways. Risa, right? Yeah, she's into that kind of stuff. I'm not into that kind of stuff. But, you know, once we get like a pattern going, the neurological pathways, it gets set. And so we like to go home the same way. We like to eat, you know, we like to have our same patterns when we wake up, and the neurological things are set. But so, you know, physiologically, I'm not confident in saying that word, but a new song forces it to change, actually. And so it does something to your brain. It grows. And, you know, at a certain point, like, we don't want to grow, we don't want something new, but singing to the Lord a new song, it forces you to grow. And another aspect of singing to the Lord a new song is more so you begin to make praise of something He's done to your life. You praise Him for something new He's done in your life. Because if you're just singing the same song, God saved me from hell. God saved me from hell. God saved me from hell. That's good. That's important. I'm not saying forget about that. But it needs to build on that. Right? Or else your understanding of God continues to stay at that level. God saved me from hell. I know God as Savior. Praise Him as Savior. Wow, I didn't know God was interested also in my family life. God saved my family. I praise Him for He provided. God is my provider. A new song. That's called a new song to the Lord. He provided for me. Oh, actually, I had a sickness and He healed me. I didn't know He just was... I thought He was just concerned about me going to heaven. But no, He's also concerned about me here and now. He's also concerned about my body and health. God is my healer. Thank you, Lord, for being my healer. New songs after new songs after new songs after new songs after new songs. Not just because you read it in the Bible, but because you experienced it in your own life. God is my healer. God is the Lord of recompense. God is. He is the great I Am. And that I am is a sentence unfinished. And it'll be a sentence, and it'll be the longest run-on sentence you'll ever see. Because it'll be, I am the great, and you begin to fill in who He is for what He's done for you. That's praise. That's praise. And I hope we begin to praise Jesus that way. What He's done. He's worthy to be praised. More than anything this world has to offer. He is worthy to be praised. He is. Let's pray. Jesus, we just want to take some time to praise You. Lord, we thank You so much. Jesus, we thank You for Your grace, Lord. We praise You for grace. Giving us, Lord, what we don't deserve. Your mercy and grace, Lord. What we did deserve, Lord, You took away, Lord. In Your great mercy, we praise You, Lord. And what we don't deserve, You have freely given to us, God. Abundantly given to us, and we praise You. We praise You, Father. We praise You, Jesus, that You have invited us to be Your disciples. We praise You, Jesus, for You have paved the way for us to walk, Lord, in holiness. You are our sanctifier. You cleansed us, Lord. With Your blood that was shed on the cross, You cleansed us and washed us and made us white as snow. We praise You, God. We praise You that, Jesus, You never condemn us. But You set us free. You never shame us, Lord. Lord, you've never picked up a rock to stone us. But rather You took, Lord, the punishment that was due for us. And we praise You, Jesus. You are wonderful and worthy of praise. We bless Your name. In Jesus' name, amen.